So the parable of the weeds, this was prepared for the teen audience that was going to be here, the teen Christians. And since I had to preach it, since I'm preaching it now, I decided that we would do the parable of the sower first, because you really can't get into the parable of the weeds without understanding the good seed and the bad seed and where it falls and all those things. So we covered the parable of the sower, if you will remember that, a couple weeks ago. And so this follows up that same line of thinking, that same conversation with Jesus. And so we're going to pick up there. So the parable of the weeds. When we started this putting together and planning for the area-wides, usually we try to do some sort of theme, something that kind of plays on what is relevant in teen culture. But the big thing that was going on as we were planning this was the election. And that was really causing a lot of divisions amongst brothers and sisters. And so what we decided, what Jess Florence from Blanchard came up with, and we all agreed was wonderful, is that we would title this year's area-wides, we'd call them All Hail King Jesus, Jesus 2024. And so the idea was that the first lesson was to introduce the frame of mind of what we were going to be doing, how we were going to be talking about who we serve as Christians and who really is our King, and who do we serve on this earth, and making these comparisons. And then we were going to start into the parables, which we're going to be calling kingdom policies, right? And so the idea is that how does God want his people to manage their lives, right? Policy is you guys all know, if you're a parent, right, you have policies for your home, right? When you come in, our kids, not when we have guests, of course, but our kids, when you come into the house, you take your shoes off, you put them away, because the dog will chew on them, right? So you make sure that you put your stuff away, right? We have policies for bedtime. We have policies how we do all sorts of things. Well, believe it or not, there are kingdom policies. There are policies that the Lord wants his people to follow. And he uses these, and he expresses a lot of these using what we call parables. And so if you're using your lesson notes, that's the first one, parables. They're simple comparison stories used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. It's something that is simple enough for you to understand and grasp, and then you apply it to a moral and spiritual application. And then you, the hearer, get to decide whether you're going to research and understand what this message means. Okay? And so what we're going to do is we're going to just pick up. There's a lot of reading to do tonight, so we're going to pick up in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. If you have your Bibles, you can open up there now, but I will have it on the screen. So we're going to look at the first the kingdom policy of the area wide. And so let's start here in verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, and this is the people he's speaking to, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away." Your version may say tares, and we'll get into that in a second. Verse 26. "So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also, and the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Oh, I did not. Oh, someone moved it for me. Thank you. And so this is a picture. So you understand what we're talking about here. If you look to this picture on your left here, that is immature wheat. That is non-ripe wheat. And then if you look to your right, that picture is a tare. It's a weed. Do they look similar to you? They do, don't they? Now, how would these guys know if there was a weed? I wouldn't know. I'm not a farmer. I haven't done any. I planted a bean in a cup once in like the sixth grade. So I haven't really done anything other than that. So to me, they just look very similar. But to the trained eye, to the person who knows what's going on, the sower and his people, they realize that there is not good seed with this good seed. This is typically what tares look like when they come to full fruition. So this is wheat, and again, this is a weed. This is tares. Do they look similar to you? If you are a farmer and you depend on this for your livelihood, do you think it would matter whether there's weeds in there with your wheat? It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And so this parable is a big deal. And we need to see what Jesus means in this parable. And just like the parable of the sower, we get this wonderful thing where the disciples ask, what does this mean? What do you mean by this parable? And so instead of me giving you my opinion, I get to just tell you what it means because Jesus tells us what it means. So if you'll pick up with me in Matthew 13, verses 36, we will begin. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. And so, just as we did with the parable of the sowers, we've got to look at some definitions that Jesus gives us. And the first one is sower of good seed. Who is that? Well, that's the Son of Man, or Jesus himself, all right? In the parable of the sower, we were able to say, hey, the sower is Jesus at the time, but now it's you and me, all right? That's our job, is to be throwing the seed. And it doesn't matter where it lands, we just need to be getting it out. Well, here in this, Jesus says specifically, this is him. He is the good seed, all right? The field is the world where we live, right? Christians and non-Christians alike, that is where we're at. The good seed is the sons of the kingdom, all right, baptized believers, all right? So now we see that the seed is not just the word, but it is the people. So you and I, baptized believers, we are the seed and sons of the kingdom, right, sons of God. The weed or the tare in your version, sons of the evil one, all right, the adversaries of God, those who are not doing the will of the Father. And who is the sower of these weeds or tares? Well, it's devil. It's the Satan himself, the evil one. And then the harvest, all right? That is the coming of age or the coming judgment, if that makes sense. We hear that often at the end of the age or in the coming times or when the kingdom of heaven is drawing near. We're talking about this time of judgment. And then finally, the reapers. These are angels. These are agents of God. And it says they have a job. And their job will be when the Son of Man will send his angels, they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. So we see that these definitions are important because it helps us to understand exactly what it is, the point that Jesus is trying to get across. I keep getting lost here. And so while we're looking at this, at Jesus' explanation, there are three things that I think are important for us to notice. And the first one is there are two types of sons, right? There's the sons of God, there's the sons of the evil one or sons of Satan, but there's only one kingdom. And that's really important to notice. God's kingdom is not of this world. We know that from John 18:36. It is something that we seek after. Okay, it is of righteousness and peace in the Spirit of God. It's not something physical that we're going to. Jesus will say, if my kingdom was physical, wouldn't my servants have stopped the Jews from killing me, right? So it's not something physical we're trying to get. It's of righteousness and peace in the Spirit of God. And then, again, it is spiritual and it is found among and or within us. All right, the kingdom on earth is the church. But it's so much more than just the church. It's how we act. It's how we love. It's are we living in the nature of God? So again, there are two types of sons, but only one kingdom. God's kingdom was established on earth through Jesus' death and resurrection. There are not two kingdoms fighting for rule. There's God's kingdom, and the gates of hell will not prevail or will not prove to be more powerful than God's kingdom. And so we need to understand God is not in competition with Satan for power. He has won. He has overcome death. It's happened. So make sure that you're understanding being part of the kingdom. The second thing to notice here is that the sons of Satan are found in the kingdom of God. Verse 41, and they will gather, these are the angels, they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers. In the church, there are sons of Satan according to this. Why and how? Well, it's because there are those who put on Christ in name, but they follow without truly loving God in nature. God has had this problem with his people for a long time. Isaiah 29:13, the Lord says through Isaiah, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. It's not because they genuinely care and love. They're just doing it because man has taught them. And if I'm doing it because of what man has said, then who is my God? It's man. It's not the one true God. I've turned man into an idol in their words. God doesn't want our empty words, nor does he want us to live in fear of him, right? The beginning of knowledge is fear of the Lord, but it's only the beginning. That's only what gets us started. Once we understand who he is truly in his nature, well, yeah, I better be fearful and do what he tells me to, but I notice the things that he tells me to do are good and wonderful. And therefore, I earnestly desire to serve him because those things are good. He desires us to have a healthy understanding of who he is and our actions in doing his will. He wants those to be out of our own desire to please him. God wants us to be a part of his kingdom, and he wants us to be a part of his church because we love to serve him in his ways. That is the goal, right? Those who do not follow him out of this genuine love for what is good will be called sons of the evil one. And so when Paul talked this morning about that time of reflection, when we're looking at what we're doing and maybe we're writing our lives down in these books, right? When we take this time of reflection, are we really living in such a way that will honor the Lord, but not just because we're told to do, but because we desire it? It's really important. It's a really important aspect of our relationship. I can tell my children, you better love me. You gotta love me. You gotta love me. But how do they show that they love me? Is it just when they pick their clothes up off the floor? Or is it when they grab their clothes up off the floor and then they run to me with their clothes? And instead of putting them in the basket where I asked them, they go, look what I did, Daddy. Look what I did. I got the clothes just like you asked me to, right? Because they know that I will respond in such a way that is loving, and they know my nature. And I'm not, sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes I'm a jealous dad, you know. But anyways, we have to understand that there's a genuine relationship that we have with the Lord, and we want to pursue that, right? And the best way to pursue that is to make sure we're pursuing it with the proper manner and in true love. And then the third thing that I'd like us to notice is that the righteous in the kingdom receive the reward, not everyone in the kingdom, all right? The wheat and the weed are in the same field, but only one is saved. The wheat is saved, and the weeds are gathered and destroyed. And this is not the first time that Jesus makes a statement like this. Everyone likes to go to this one. They're afraid of this one. But this is what Jesus is saying in Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. All right? So, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. All right, we're seeing this correlation and this continuity in the message that Jesus has given. All right, you can be a part of the kingdom and you can say that you're a part of the kingdom, but what are you doing that proves you're a part of the kingdom? Now, I don't want you to think I'm saying, hey, works are the only way to be a Christian. That's not what I'm saying. But if I have true faith, according to James, you will know my faith by my works. All right? If I truly believe something's going to happen, I'm going to be compelled to do something with that belief. All right? Bobby's standing in front of a bus, and I go, "Hey, Bobby, a bus is coming." And he goes, like that. And I'm like, "Whoop, tried, walked away." You know, and the bus hits him. Or if I truly believe that bus is going to hit him, do I run over there and push him out of the way? Right? So if you truly believe something's going to happen and you know it, you're going to be compelled to action, okay? And that's not what happened. I didn't say it. You were just there. I forgot you fell. I'm sorry, buddy. I didn't mean that. Oops. There we go. All right, so, but again, this one is really hard, especially after a lesson we've heard like this morning, where Marty was saying that we don't have to worry about our salvation if we're in Christ. In this case, the wheat, the righteous ones, the ones who are doing the right things, they need not worry about their salvation. We have to remember that. But what about those who are in the church who are weeds? They have to worry about their salvation. All right? Just because I'm here every Sunday and every Wednesday, just because I wave to people at the stop sign in a nice manner, it doesn't mean that I'm producing the righteous works that the Lord requires of me. And so we need to make sure that we're not weeds. The righteous, though, they will be gathered up into the heavenly kingdom. All right? So not only will you get to do great things and be a part of the kingdom here, but then your perseverance, your righteousness will pay off, and we'll get to go to the Father in the heavenly kingdom and be with Him, and we will get to shine like the sun, Jesus says. So I think we need to make it clear that we're constantly examining ourselves before God so we can determine whether or not we are wheat or we are tares. It's really important because, again, I can be here every Sunday and Wednesday and not be wheat. So what does my life look like in Christ? Those are three things that I've noticed, but what does this mean for us? Or in conclusion, let's cover those real quick. There are two types of sons. These are the three things we've noticed. There are two types of sons. Sons of God, sons of Satan. However, there is only one kingdom. All right? We're going to find both these people in that kingdom. That's what we read right here. So what are you going to be? The sons of Satan can be and are found in God's kingdom on earth, the church. So be aware. And I'm not telling you to start looking around and pointing out people. I'm asking you to look inwardly, okay? Just as I do every day. And then finally, only the righteous in the kingdom receive the reward. The wheat and the tare, they're in the same field, but only one is saved, okay? And what does that mean for us? We're going to gather what I'm calling two kingdom policies out of this parable to apply to us tonight. And the first one is that Christians must do what we are told to do by Christ. It's really that simple. We'll start in Luke 6:46, when Jesus asks, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord," all right, Savior, right, "and do not do what I tell you to do?" All right? What was the problem with Cain and God in Genesis chapter 4? God said that the issue was that I told you to do something a certain way and you didn't do it. So it's not acceptable. Well, that made Cain mad, so he murdered his brother. But that's not what God wanted him to do. He wanted him to fix the problem he had. Escuche, right? Listen. That's what I tell my kids all the time. I'm like, escuche. And now my six-year-old is learning Spanish, so now she knows what I mean. So that's even better. But anyways, if we call him our Lord and Savior and we don't do what he asks us to do, why do we even call him Lord? And that's not from me, that's from Jesus' mouth. So maybe we should look inwardly. John 14:15, again, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will do what? You will keep my commandments." All right, does he mean I'm going to put them in a box and say, "All right," or "I know I've got all your commandments right here, and I'm gonna keep it right here on the bedside table, but I'm not going to do anything about it"? That's not what he means. Keep them, all right? Do them. Follow them. Show that you are a worker approved by the Lord. And James, again, will tell us, be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Because if you're hearers only and you're not doers, what do? We deceive ourselves. We lie to ourselves. And that's an issue. So do you believe, based on what Jesus has said and the scriptures tell us, that it's important what we do and how we live our lives? I think it's very important. In class, we do these worksheets, and I get them from a book. We don't do worksheets every week, but I like to have a handout in case a parent ever says, "Hey, what are you learning in class?" Well, I can just give them the handout, and they don't have to worry about anything. But it's coming from this book called Letters from Heaven, and we've kind of taken that apart, and we dissected what that means. And we've come to the conclusion that Letters from Heaven means instructions to attain the goal. That's what this is. These are instructions on how to live so that we can reach heaven. And so, let's do what's in it. And then the second kingdom policy that I think is really important, and we learned this one in Parable of the Sower, but it's Christians must bear good fruit. Why is it always compared to a harvest? Why are good, righteous Christians and those who just put on the name of the Lord but not righteous compared to plants in a field, something you gather up and you use? Well, it's because we know that if we eat the wrong thing, we get sick, and if we eat the right thing, we're healthy and good, right? It's as simple as that. And so what kind of fruit we are going to bear is very important. Luke 6:45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance, or large quantity, overflowing, lots and lots and lots, the stuff I keep inside, right? Well, out of that heart, out of that in his heart, his mouth speaks. Hebrews 6:7-8, for the land that is drunk has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those whose sake it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. I mean, this is the topic they gave me, by the way. I didn't pick this out to preach to the teens and say, this is the topic I got. But it's so very important about how we live our lives if we claim to be a Christian. So I know so often when someone says, "Oh, hey, don't take the name of the Lord in vain," we're talking about maybe them saying a curse word. But I would go even further to say, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. If you are not going to try to follow and be a good Christian, and I say good Christian not based on my standards, but based on what the standards of the Bible says, then don't put on the name of Christ. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. It's that important. What does Jesus say? Those who put their hand to the plow and look back are not what? Worthy of his kingdom. Do you think it's important how we live our lives? Do you think it's important if we're bearing good fruit? You can tell a tree, just a couple verses before Luke 6:45, you can tell a tree by what? The fruit that it bears. So look around you and see what you're bearing. So very clear. It's made clear to us through the scriptures that it is not enough to confess the name of Christ. We must be changed into workers for God. The product of our time must be that people know we are God's people. And again, we will be known by our fruit. And so those are two kingdom policies that we pulled out of this parable. God wants us, and Jesus wants us, to be workers, keep his commandments. And the second policy is he wants us to bear fruit. He doesn't want his message to die with us, which it won't individually or as a whole. But individually, if I'm saved and then I never tell anybody about that hope, then I've let it die. I'm not really hopeful if I'm not telling people about it, right? How many times has Marty told us from up here, if you know a good restaurant, what are you going to do? You're going to tell people about how great that restaurant was. If you truly love Christ, and you're hopeful in him, are you going to be telling people about him? You ought to be. You ought to be. And so the question tonight is to those in the kingdom. It's to the church, because that's what this parable is pointed towards. Those in the kingdom. Are you wheat or are you weed? All right? Are you righteous or are you unrighteous? That is what this parable is about. And so as we finish up this lesson, or in conclusion of this lesson, if you have not had a chance to be a part of the kingdom, it's really not near, I say difficult, it is really difficult to not to confront your sin all the time, right? Or to try not to sin, or not to, a lot of times, enjoy the fun that's out in the world, as we put it. A lot of people think that, oh, if I become a Christian, I can't have any fun, you know? Well, that's not the case. Your definition of fun changes, is what I would say. But if you haven't had a chance to put Christ on and become part of the kingdom, then I will let you know that that time is now. If you're a weed, right? And I'm a weed a lot of times, and I have to continue to come back and go, all right, Lord, I'm confessing my sins to you. I'm working this out. Please forgive me. All right, let me become weed again. He'll do that for you. That's a wonderful hope of the message, right? If you become a weed, you're not weed forever if you don't want to be, right? Just as we talked with the parable of the sower, you can change the type of ground you are. So if you examine yourself and you find yourself as weed, well, go to the Father. Confess to Him your issues, your sins. Rely on your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's so very important, right, in our walk, if we don't have one another. And then if you are weak, if you are living righteously, if you examine yourself and you have no doubt in your salvation, well, look around and find those who are struggling and help them, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be here for one another. So if you have any need at all tonight, please come forward. The time is now as we stand and as Bob leads us in song.